Hope you do. Turn with us over to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. The book of Hebrews chapter number 5. And we're going to be beginning in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we bow before you today. And God, we want to praise you for being our great high priest. God, we want to praise you for coming down from heaven and robing yourself in flesh that you could understand people like me. God, that you could have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. And God, I pray you'd help us to realize today that if we suffer, Lord, we suffer for a reason. Lord, that it's a teacher for us. And God, if someone's suffering here today, I pray that today you'd show them the reason for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we see a few things in our text today that are very important. It talks about in the first four verses the appointment of a priest. And it says that everybody that was appointed or ordained a priest, taken from out of men, for men, pertaining to the things of God, that they didn't do this on their own. They didn't say, you know what, I think I'm going to be a priest. I think this is the way to go. But yet they were ordained and appointed of God. You know, I do think there are some people who've just decided they were going to preach. I don't know why they'd have done that, but some people did. But I think, man, if you're going to preach the gospel, you should be called by God of the gospel. This is something that chose me. I didn't choose it, I promise you. But, you know, for the rest of us, we're all appointed to things. God is a God of appointments. He is a God that deals in the details. He's a God who deals with specific times and people and places and things. And God is a God who keeps His appointments. And God has appointed you and me to certain things in this life. You know, He has given us, you know, I think about all this all the time, that I was born for this time. I was born for this time. I didn't choose when I was born. I didn't choose to be born in 1984. That was a long time ago, amen. But that's when God chose to bring me into the world. And you didn't choose when you were born. God has, as the Bible says, raised up some for such a time as this. And man, we look out in a dark world today and we say, man, where are things headed? What is going to be facing us in the near future? Well, folks, the deal is that we have been born for this time. We have been put on earth for these days, and God has given us these times. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, and I always liked it. He said, he talked about all the great preachers of the past. He said, man, Charles Spurgeon, George Whitfield, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, they were all great men, and they all have something in common. They're all dead. He said, it's our day today. It's our time to step up and do something for the cause of Christ. But you were chosen. You didn't get to choose when you were born. And you also didn't get to choose who your parents were. I've often thought about things about parents and how the decisions they make alter their family's lives, you know. The decisions they make, where we're going to live, where we're going to do, that changes the way our lives work out. And as children, we didn't have those choices. And I didn't choose to be born in Bogalusa, Louisiana. But that's where I was born. And this is where we are. And folks, God has a plan for that. God's got a plan for your life. And He has appointed things for you to do. And you know, one day we'll stand before God and give an account for the things that we've done in this life. And He'll, I believe, lay some things out before us and say, "This is what I had for you." And we'll have to see where we line up with that and where we stack up. And I know in my own life things that I've missed. I know opportunities that I let slip through my fingers. I know chances God has given me. I try my best during the week to have my eyes opened to what God is doing around me. You know, Laura was waiting on me for something, but I met a guy who used to be a friend of ours, and he was down and out, and I said, "Let's go eat lunch," you know, and I just tried to minister to him, and I text Laura and I said, "Hey, I'm eating lunch with this guy," and she said, "How'd you get hooked up with him?" Well, the way is God is doing things in our lives. God is doing things in our life. You know, I saw that same guy last Sunday afternoon. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. And then I saw him last week, and I told him, I said, "You need to open your eyes to what God's doing in your life." I said, "It ain't no coincidence that me and you have ran into each other twice in a week." And I gave him a call to come back to God. He said he didn't want to make a decision that day to repent and come back to God. But God was at work in his life. And we're going to have to give an account for things like that when God is at work in our lives. God's working in your life whether you realize it or not. God is doing a multitude of things in your life. I know some of you might say, "Man, God's not doing nothing in my life." Your eyes are not open to what God is doing. He is very, very active in your life. And you need to open your eyes and seize what God is doing around it. He's got an appointment for you. He's got a time for you. And you know what? All these things, our birthplace, our parents, the time in which we live, the things that we do, the experiences that we have. You know, he's talking here about priests. Well, the things that they do and the calling that God has on them makes them qualified to do what they're doing. And you know what is happening in our lives? Our experiences, the things that we're enduring, makes us qualified for what God has for us to do. He qualifies us by the things that we've experienced and the things that we've done. And now, he talks about Jesus. And Jesus was appointed to be our high priest. He was appointed to be the person that goes to God on our behalf. And the one who would come to man's cause on God's behalf. This is what he was appointed to do. But now, look at this in verse number 7. This is so interesting. And I told you, man, I heard a sermon a while back that has had just an effect on me. When a man preached a sermon about the humanity of Christ. I don't know about you, but I always think of Jesus as God. I just always go to Him being God. And we know He was 100% God and 100% man, but I just always kind of lean on the God side because, you know, we want to make sure we believe he was God, and that's just a serious doctrine. But this guy preached a sermon on the humanity of Christ. That He was a man like me and you. He was. He was tempted like me and you. He could have sinned. He could have sinned, but did not. And I want to think about that today, about Jesus being a man like me and you. He was appointed a priest. He had a job to do. And look at what it says in verse 7. Talking about Jesus now. Who in the days of His flesh, when He was down here on earth as a man, when He had offered up prayers and supplications, listen to this, with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. And He was heard in that He feared. Though He were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which He suffered. Jesus was appointed to suffer. And I've got news for all of us here today. We have been appointed to suffer as well. And it talks about Jesus' suffering. You know, I told someone the other day that Jesus suffered, and he said, "How did Jesus suffer? What do you mean Jesus suffered?" Well, let's think about a lot of things. You ever thought about Jesus as a child? You ever thought about a kid that doesn't sin? Can you imagine what it was like for him as the other kids in the neighborhood said, "Man, Jesus is a goody-two-shoes"? I bet it was tough on Jesus to have friends. Man, Jesus probably wouldn't get into the mischief they'd get into. He'd probably tell somebody if someone stole something. And I bet Jesus grew up in a day when he didn't have many friends. And I don't know how your childhood was. Mine was good. But I do remember in school seeing kids that didn't have friends. And I thought about that this week about Jesus. Can you imagine having a friendless childhood? Or a childhood where you didn't have many friends? A childhood where you didn't do things that the other kids did? And so Jesus lived through that. You know, have you ever been misunderstood? You know, I've learned something about preaching and standing behind this pulpit. When I went to work at the Christian school, you know, we were working, you know, I was young and I was working around high school girls and junior high girls. And Brother Lynn told me this right when I started this. He said, "Derek, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters what they said you did. So you need to be very careful about who you're around." And that's true. But it also pertains to this. When I preach, it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what you think I said. I've had people say, "Man, tell me things I said." And I said, I didn't mean like that. I had somebody the other day told me something, but they took it in a good way. But that wasn't how I was, you know, trying to say it. But it was good. But it doesn't matter. My point is I've been misunderstood. And Jesus was just misunderstood. The Jews rejected him and hung him on a cross. You know why? Because they misunderstood him. They thought he was a blasphemous hater of the law, hater of their religion. They didn't realize he was there to save them and to help them. He was misunderstood. You know, Jesus was lied on and his name was slandered. You know what they called Jesus Christ? Here's a bunch of us today. We've come and gathered around the name of Christ. We love him. You know what they said? They said he was a drunkard. They said Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus being a drunkard? But they said Jesus is a drunkard. They said Jesus Christ was a whoremonger. Can you believe that? Jesus, that's what they said about him. Now, we know they was lying. Have you ever been lied on? Have you ever had anybody slander your name and say, "This is who you are," or "This is what they are," or all these things? Well, join the club because Jesus had it happen to him. He's been lied on. He's been misunderstood. You know, Jesus experienced loss. You know, I think about Miss Deb this last week losing someone. Others lose loved ones and friends. You know, when Jesus was on earth, guess what happened? John the Baptist got beheaded while Jesus was on earth. Do you know why John the Baptist got beheaded in a large sense? Because of Jesus. So here Jesus is, one of his best friends on earth, gets killed because of him. Because of doing the work of God. And Jesus wept and hurt. He said there hadn't been a man greater than John the Baptist. He knows what it's like to experience loss. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. He was forsaken by all of his disciples there at the cross, save for a few. He was homeless. You know, I've never been homeless. It's tough for me to relate. It's tough for me to even be compassionate on them. I'm just being honest with you and confessing today. We were in Houston visiting my sister, and we had to get off the interstate and ride down the road. And I mean, they have like basically communities of homeless people. And I told my kids, I said, "Hey, you see them people? Bad decisions." That's what I told them, you know. But I don't know what decisions they made. But Jesus can be compassionate on them people that are living under overpasses. You know why? Because he's been there. He's actually been there. He suffered want. He was the God of the universe. He created all things and He suffered want. There was times when Jesus was hungry. There was times when He was thirsty. He went without. You ever went without? Jesus has. He gets it. It says there in our text that He prayed with strong crying and tears and looked at this and was heard in that He feared. Jesus Christ was fearful. You know, there's some things that we can't understand. And I don't understand what was all going through Jesus' mind and in His heart when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And He was beginning to become all of my sins. I don't know what was going through His mind and heart feeling. But I know He was fearful. I know He was depressed. And I know He doubted. You know, doubting is not a sin when you're looking for the truth. To wonder. I want to know the truth. That's not a sin. And He just was wondering, what is happening? He said on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He did not know why. He was trying to understand it and come to grips with it. Jesus suffered. And I want to tell you something today. All these things we mentioned about Jesus could happen to me and you. I don't know what you're suffering with today. Maybe you get depressed. Maybe you suffer with anxiety. Maybe you worry. Maybe you got family problems, marital problems, financial problems. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But what I can tell you is that Jesus suffered too. And you know what it says about what His suffering did for Him? It says He learned something from it. He learned obedience from it. And when we suffer, there are some things that we can learn through suffering. You know what we learn through suffering and what Jesus learned? Number one, He learned compassion. I can promise you, if there ever comes a day when I'm homeless, I could probably be compassionate on the homeless because I've been there. We talked about that last week a little bit, how when you've been there, you're a little bit easier to forgive. It's a little bit easier for you to be compassionate towards somebody because you have been in their shoes. You know how it is, and you say, man, I can forgive them. It's easy for me to do that. And you can learn how to be compassionate. When you suffer, you can be compassionate. You know, I always think about that at funeral time when I preach funerals. The Bible talks about that we go through this so that we can comfort others when they're going through it. And when you go through those types of things, you can be compassionate. You know what else He learned? And what we can learn, and this is the most important thing, is that we learn about faith. We're living a faith life in the Christian life. It's a faith life. And you know how we learn faith? By having to trust in God. Man, by having to come to Him and say, I cannot handle this. I can't win. I can't overcome. I need You to help me with this. I prayed that this week. I said, God, You got to take this from me. Somebody talked about giving something to God this week. You know, they said, preachers talk about giving something to God. They don't, how do you do that? I got to pray, God, take this from me. I can't handle it, and I'm trying to, and it's worrying me, and it is just consuming me. Take this off of me, and I'm going to give it to You. We learn about faith. We learn about trust. We learn about dependence on God. Our life as Christians is a life of dependence on Jesus Christ. And one way we learn that is through suffering. You know why I think there's so little faith in the American church today? It's because there's really been so little suffering. The church around the world is persecuted. I can tell you that right now. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Derek, we're about to see terrible days in America. The church is about to be persecuted. And I said this, well, we'll just catch up with the church around the world has been experiencing for 2,000 years. You know, it's been happening all the time since Jesus left. And we'll just catch up with them. You know, we can learn patience. And perseverance. I don't like being patient. I can assure you. Some of y'all can amen there because I know you don't like it either. We like things now. We like answers now. We like to experience things now. But man, when we suffer, we've got to learn patience. You know, in God's done this in my own heart. Everybody's life's different. But you know one thing God has spoke to my heart about on my life is He's just told me over the years, to just remember it's a long process. That's what he keeps telling me. It's a long process. You know, y'all might think this is funny, but I got in my office a wood-carved turtle on my desk. You say, what's a wood-carved turtle about? Well, y'all all remember the story of the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise won. He took his time. He ran his race, and he won. And he just grinded and went away. Anytime I feel frustrated by something going on, I look at that turtle and I'm just reminded, just keep grinding, man. Just keep grinding. Just keep going. Keep pushing forward. Keep running the race. It's going to take time. We're going to get there. And that's how the Christian life is. That's what suffering will teach you. Just be patient. You know, I think about Daniel in the lion's den. I think about others that just had to be patient and wait for God to answer them. It didn't happen in a moment. It was a process, and they was patient with it. Learn to be perseverant. You know, if you suffer, you can learn how to be thankful and how to be grateful. You know who's thankful for their health? People that's been sick. People that's been sick. Me and you get up that are well, and we take our health for granted, and man, we live, and everything's good. Let us lose our health for a little while. Man, we'll be thankful and grateful for it. Man, you know who's thankful for the things they have? People that didn't have anything. People that had nothing and came from nothing, they're thankful and appreciative of what they have. Suffering teaches us to be thankful. It teaches us to be grateful. Man, we ought to see others that are going through suffering and be thankful and grateful for that as well. It teaches us what joy is about. You know, when you suffer, you find joy in Jesus. You find joy in Jesus. When you figure out that it ain't your health, it ain't your wealth, it ain't your prosperity, it's just about Jesus. You know, I sat with a man this week that is dying. He will be dead before long. And I've sat with many people dying. And you know what none of them ever tell me? Ever. Ever. They never say, man, I wish I could make one more dollar. Never. They never want to buy one more toy. They never want to go on one more trip. They wish they'd have walked closer to God, done more for Him, been a better witness for their family, led their family to God better. They worry about those things. And guess what? When we're all there, that'll be the things that we say. And it'll be like that no matter what we do for Christ. Lee Robertson, one of the greatest preachers that this America's seen, done so much. When he was dying, he said, I wish I had done more. That's how we'll feel. But look at this in verse number 9. It says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him. There is an appointed finish line for me and you. There's a reason why we go through all that we go through. There's a reason you're going through what you're going through today. And you know what it is? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You know what? But that wasn't enough. You know that wasn't enough? He was perfect when he was 12 years old. But it wasn't enough. He was perfect when he started his ministry. But it wasn't enough. The Bible says this, that he became perfect. It says this, that he became the author of eternal salvation. He became these things that we talk. He became a blessing unto the world. He became those things all through suffering. He became it. You know, I preached a message one time on Easter talking about that if he'd have stopped at the cross, even dying on the cross wasn't enough because we need the resurrection. And he became this. Guess what? Let me ask you a question. Jesus Christ became the Savior of the world because of his life of suffering and the life that God brought him through, the appointment which he had. This is what he became. Let me ask you a question. What are you becoming? What are you becoming? How are you handling the things that are going on in your life? I told you I sat at lunch the other day with a guy who's down and out. When I seen him, I said, I ran into him. He kind of was startled. I shook his hand and I hugged him. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm the most miserable person in all the world. So we started talking. You know what he's become? I told Laura, I said, if something don't change, he ain't going to be here long. You know what he's becoming? His life is becoming, and he is, a wreck. It's a wreck. stuff's happening. You know, he was telling me stuff. You know, I said, you know what I hear in your voice? I said, I hear a lot of bitterness. It's this one's fault. It's that one's fault. This one's fault. You know? He said, man, my grandma is the best woman in all the world. He said, she's just so, you know, that great grandma, you know. Somebody told me the other day, interim pastors are like grandparents. Everybody loves them because they know they're leaving soon. You know, interim pastors are great jobs. But you know, love grandma. And he said, my grandma told me I'm a burden on her. He said, can you believe that? I said, yeah, you stole from her. She's worried you're going to die. Of course you're a burden on her. But what his suffering has done, and he suffered, but what he's becoming through it is a miserable person. Now, is your suffering making you become bitter or unfaithful or dragging you away from God or bringing you down? Or is your suffering bringing you closer to Jesus? That's the question today. What are you becoming? God has a plan for your life. And everything that happens, good or bad, God's got a purpose in it. And He wants to use it to mold you into the Christian He wants you to be. He wants to use it to make you be the person that can bring Him the most glory with their life. He wants to use you to be a blessing to other people, to help others, to comfort others, to minister to others. Or are you letting something happen in your life bring you to a bad place? There's a finish line, amen? In fact, there's kind of two finish lines. You can become what God wants you to be, or you can go to a place where you cross the line with God and He's not going to deal with you anymore on this earth. That line really does exist. I know we don't like to talk about it, and we always want to say, oh, there's always hope. There's hope as long as God gives you hope. But God will deal with you only so long. You know, I hate to keep using this example of this guy, but I tried to help him. I said, look, I'm here. I'll help you in any way I can. He said, well, do I got to decide today or what's the deal? I said, you ain't got to decide today. I said, here's what the Bible says, though. I said, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. God's brought us here together today, and you can seek Him while He can be found. And today, if you're suffering, you're burdened, you've got problems, you need to look at it through a gospel lens and say, God is using this in my life to make me better. He is using this in my life to strengthen me and to make me a better believer and a better servant of God. But unfortunately, many of us say this, God has forsaken us. God's being mean to me. Why me? Why this? Stuff happens to people every day. Why not me and you? Why not me and you? The church around the world is being persecuted. John the Baptist got beheaded. Why not me and you? Jesus suffered. Why not me? If Jesus suffered, why not me? Let our suffering and let the struggles we have in this life turn us into great champions for Jesus. We can go through them and shine brighter when we make them through. You know, I'm going to preach a sermon. It's been on my heart for a long time. I've just never preached it. God deals with us in seasons. And you know the good thing about seasons? You know the good thing about summer, 102 degree weather? It's going to end soon, amen? That's the good thing. We're about to have some cool weather come in. And you know what the good thing is about spiritual seasons? They end. You might be going through a tough time, but it'll end. You just keep looking to Jesus. You go through for Him, and you'll come into another season very, very soon. Amen? Let's stand together and have a time of invitation, a time where you can come and cast your cares upon Him, which is what He's asked us to do.